Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm out at Salt River Fields. It's been a beautiful week out here this morning. It is Friday. It is a little bit chillier. You know, baseball, it seems, is in full swing here in Arizona. I was driving over to Salt River this morning, and there was what appeared to be some little league or youth baseball games already happening. It's 7:30 in the morning, and these games are in full swing. So it is mid-March. Things are getting going. We're only about just under two weeks from opening day. So exciting stuff on the baseball front. Let's get into the Diamondbacks. The big news with Zach Greinke exiting his spring training start the other day, was supposed to go five innings, but left after the first inning with some right groin tightness. It was precautionary at first, but now they're pushing back a bullpen start. Likely he won't be ready for opening day. This is pretty big for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. And you know, so much of what the concern was Zach Greinke's velocity, mm-hmm. and how it seemed to be down. He even expressed concerns about that. If you watched Twitter during his first inning, it was like velo watch, where every reporter was saying, all right, this pitch was 89, this pitch was 92. It seems like it has bounced back a little bit, so maybe it was just a little bit of a dead arm situation for a couple of weeks. So that is promising for Diamondbacks fans, but the groin, you never really know with that sort of injury. Obviously, it's pretty crucial to just about everything you do, especially if you're a pitcher. So that's something definitely to keep an eye on. And, I mean, this is a huge deal because for two big reasons. One, the Diamondbacks need to get off to a start similar to what they did last year. Correct. If they want to compete in the postseason. They got off to such a hot start. I don't think they have to get off to as hot of a start, because that was historically one of the better starts that they've had in franchise history, but they still need to really hit the ground running. No, they're not going to surprise anyone this year. The NL West is better. They just need to make sure that they're hitting the ground running if they want to compete, and you don't want to try to play catch up with the Dodgers, with the retooled Giants, with the Rockies, who made the postseason as well. So that's one of the big reasons. The other big reason, and it seems like we've discussed this quite a bit, is the starting pitching depth at the 6th, 7th, and 8th spot isn't as deep as it was last year. Mm-hmm. Zach Godley was able to step in, as I've mentioned time and time again. He was able to step in, and Torey Lovello said he pretty much saved the rotation for them last year when Shelby Miller went down. So that depth isn't really there. They traded away Anthony Bonda to get Steven Souza. Is that a Braden Shipley then? Is that a Taylor Clark? You know, those aren't as – not saying that Godley was super proven, but you had seen him up and down a couple times at the big league level, and you could see the glimpses. It'll be interesting to see how they continue that if they do need to go all of a sudden right off the bat to that sixth starter, what they may do. So definitely a big news, but I don't think that the sky is falling quite yet.
Correct. And who do you think – who would be if – though the next couple weeks don't go as planned and Greinke is, in fact, out for opening day, who is your opening day starter?
Robbie Ray.
100% agree. That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, I think that's the go-to. He was an all-star last year. A lot of people considered this Diamondbacks rotation last year to have two aces, or a 1A and a 1B, mm-hmm. In their rotation.
And Greinke is attributed Ray to being just as two aces on this in this
exactly.
club. So
exactly. So they do have the depth in that starting five. So that is promising, where going from one to two isn't as big of a jump for many teams. But I think Robbie Ray is the go-to if that's the case.
Staying on the topic of pitching, Shelby Miller pitched his first bullpen since Tommy John surgery earlier this week. He pitched about 15 pitches. Torey Lovello said they were all pretty quality pitches. He was really impressed with what he saw out of Miller. Miller is expected to come back in June or July. They're going to keep rehabbing, obviously just throwing his first bullpen session. Got to ease back into it. The other thing Lovello said was that he's had a bigger smile on his face this week since he threw that bullpen. So that's pretty exciting. I was out here the other day and saw him come out and sign autographs for every single person that walked up. So he's still just as much a part of this club and just as well known as every other player on this staff. When June and July comes around and Miller is expectedly healthy, what do you think he will do for this rotation?
I think he'll just add another arm, and it's one of those things where 2015 was just so forgettable for the Diamondbacks as a whole, but especially for Shelby Miller as well. He just had so many strange things go wrong, whether it was, you know, scraping his knuckles when throwing, you know, in a follow through of a pitch, and really just struggling from the get go. But again, that was kind of a microcosm for the Diamondback season as a whole. Though it was limited last year, I thought he did a solid job as a starting pitcher. And again, it was a small sample size. It wasn't lights out stuff. But there were plenty of games where in 2015 you would see that game unravel for him, where he'd give up 7-8 earned runs, and he would only give up, you know, he'd get about to 5 2/3, give up 2 or 3 earned runs, you know, throw a good amount of pitches, but would set up the team to win. So there was definitely progress being made, and that was something that I was really looking forward to seeing how he would kind of bounce back from that 2015 season. And I think he was starting to do a really nice job before, you know, that UCL injury happened. So I think, again, it will just add some depth. This is a position of depth for them right now, 1 through 5. It's a little thin at probably 6 through 8 right now, but it's tough to tell 2 months in. You might see, you know, a Taylor Clark kind of kill it in the minor leagues, or you know, they have a couple of arms down there that are really solid that could definitely be in the mix as well. But too much pitching is never a bad thing.
A couple other pitchers of note are Antonio Bastardo and Fernando Salas. Both have had solid springs. They were minor league invites once they were signed as free agents, so keeping an eye on them as well in these last couple of weeks. Speaking of free agents, the free agent market still got some options out there.
Yeah, guys are starting to sign at discount rates, whether it's Mike Moustakas, Carlos Gonzalez. These big names are starting to come off, but a lot of them are signing the one-year deal. So I think that Mike Hazen could work some magic again, potentially. We talked about how that starting pitching, that next group of starting pitchers, there are some question marks there. Do you potentially go and try to sign a John Lackey? Is that
interesting?
Is that a guy that could be under budget and that he'd also have to kind of understand coming in? He'd probably be that sixth guy.
Right.
So is that something you take a look at? Greg Holland had a great couple of seasons with the Rockies. They have now moved on from him, added Wade Davis. Is he a guy that, you know, there's kind of a three guys competing for the closer role right now? Do you add a fourth? You know, that could be something where when you look at these contract numbers, it's not too steep. Granted, the Diamondbacks have the biggest payroll they've ever had, touching north of about $125 million, probably between $125, $135. But they've continued to be able to open the checkbook and talk about how the time is now for them to strike. Do you try to cap it off with a signing that might not cost you that much? Mm-hmm.
On the college baseball front, Pac-12 conference play begins this weekend. Check out sports360az.com for Pac-12 at the plate to keep up on Arizona State and Arizona baseball and how they're faring in the conference. That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Also, check out sports360az.com for more of our baseball coverage. Thanks for listening.